Now we come to our Bible reading this evening. If you would turn with me to the book of Daniel and to the chapter 5. The book of Daniel and to the chapter 5. And our Bible reading is commencing at the last verse of this chapter, the verse 31, and reading into chapter 6. We're going to call upon another of our youth workers, Mr. Joel Haffey, if he would come to read this portion of Scripture to us. And immediately after he does that, we do welcome again our brother Mr. Philip Knowles, and he will come to bring the word of the Lord. Thank you.
Daniel chapter 5, verse 31. And Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these 3 presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king, and said thus unto him, "King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not." Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Amen.
I thank Joel for reading the word of the Lord.
Feels like a sense of student deputation before you come up to bring forth the word. There is someone there before you who reads the scripture, so thank you for reading today. I'd like to thank as well the Reverend Kenny for giving me another opportunity tonight to bring forth the word of the Lord. It is a joy to be here all day, to have fellowship with each and every one of you, and to enjoy our youth the youth fellowship of how they have ministered in song tonight and have enjoyed those pieces. I was praying what the Lord would lay upon my heart tonight, and it is a youth service tonight, and I want to encourage the youth in not only in the gospel, but also as they seek to live for Jesus Christ in the day that we live in, and no doubt be a word for each and every one of us here assembled tonight. But I do want to focus on chapter 6, Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. That will be our main attention tonight. And no doubt these are well known portions of Scripture. No doubt you know the story and the life of Daniel very, very well. You'll know the courses. Daniel was a man of prayer. Daily he prayed 3 times. You'll no doubt have heard the children being taught the stories of Daniel. Well, we pray tonight that the Lord will help us as we seek to minister his word regarding Daniel and his life serving the Lord. We'll briefly seek the Lord in prayer, and we'll ask the Lord to help us just now. Our Heavenly Father and Eternal God, we approach thy throne again. And Father, we thank thee that we come to a throne of grace to find help in a time of need. Lord, we need thee just now. We ask of thee, O God, that thou wilt brood over this meeting. We pray that thou wilt bear us on eagle's wings. And Father, we ask of thee, as the word of God is faithfully proclaimed, Lord, we ask of thee, O God, this night, that thou wilt apply thy word to every heart. Lord, open up thy word to our hearts, and open up our hearts to thy word. Lord, I need thy help tonight. Stand beside me, fill me with the Holy Ghost and with power. Give me liberty, I ask of thee. And Father, we pray that thy word would have free course and be glorified. Undertake, O God, we pray this night, for the Saviour's sake. Amen. As we come to Daniel chapter 6, we'll know that Daniel, by many commentators, has been suggested that at this age he is around between 80 to 90 years old. At the start of Daniel's prophecy in Daniel chapter 1, Daniel is a young youth, a young boy who has grown up, a young boy who belongs to the Lord. Though we don't know much about Daniel and his salvation, yet we are given a verse there in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. It says, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. And the word defile himself there simply means that he would not defile himself in religious or spiritual convictions that he had. Some people have said that this could mean that Daniel would not eat off the king's meat or drink off the drink that was used in pagan worship, or else Daniel kept strict to certain dietary laws. But nonetheless, whatever the word simply means is Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself, he would not corrupt himself, he would not pollute himself, he would not go back on all the things that he said. He purposed in his heart that he would continue serving the Lord, he would continue living for the Lord, and he would continue to please the Lord as he lived there in a pagan society. Daniel purposed in his heart, he fixed in his heart, he had it settled in his heart that no matter what happened, no matter what went against him, God came first in his life and that he would seek the Lord and honour the Lord. And young people, I would say that to you as well, that you would give your life afresh to the Lord this night, that you will honour the Lord, that you will go with him all the way, that though you live in a world today that seeks to bring us down, a world that would seek to rob us, a world that would seek to hinder us off the things of God, but that we would have that purpose in our heart, that we would not defile ourselves, that we would not go back against all that we have said, but that we will wholly lean on Jesus' name and follow him. You see, the very fact that Daniel purposed in his heart signifies the truth that Daniel was a child of God. Because without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. And natural man as he is, a sinner, does not want to please God. For there is none that doeth good, no, not one. Man has no desire to live for God. Man has no desire to love the Lord, to seek the Lord. For there is none that seek after God, no, not one. And therefore the very fact that Daniel had purposed in his heart, fixed, settled, established in his heart, that he would not defile himself, simply reveals to us a truth that Daniel's heart and life had been touched by the Lord. That his life, his heart, his inner man, the affections, his desires had been touched by the Lord. He was a new creature in Christ. And that's why Daniel could purpose in his heart that he would not defile himself, to corrupt himself, to make himself impure, because he had a heart that followed the Lord. We learn that Scripture talks about the heart in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. And you'll know this verse of Scripture well. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And there we have the heart of natural man described. A heart that is not touched by God. A heart that is left in sin. It is a heart that is described as deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And that word deceitful, it simply signifies to be crooked. A deceptive heart. A crooked heart. A heart that is manifested in life by behavior in such a twisted manner, such an ungodly manner. Because we were born in sin. By nature, we are sinners, and we practice sin by nature. We're all born in sin and shapen in iniquity. We are the children of wrath, even as others, born dead in trespasses and in sin. And therefore, our heart is deceitful Our heart is crooked. Our heart is against God. And it is desperately wicked. The whole point there of desperately wicked is there is a heart that is humanly incurable. A heart that no man can do a work in. A man cannot change himself. Man cannot make himself better. I say it is a work that only God can do. But I'm glad tonight to say what is humanly impossible with man is possible with the Lord. Because he is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto him by faith. And men and women tonight, those lost in sin, those held in the chains of sin, those held the prisoners of Satan, those that have sin controlling them, ruling over them, I'm glad tonight that there's power in the blood of the Lamb to save the vilest of sinners who truly believes. There is power in the blood, hell-defeating, sin-destroying power to bring you out of bondage, to bring you out of sin, and to set you free. Hallelujah tonight, for there's power in the blood. For God's message is in Jesus Christ and in his Son, the Redeemer, the one who came into this world to give his life on the cross of Calvary, to shed his precious blood, that young people, men and women here tonight, might be saved, come to Jesus Christ and have all their sins forgiven and to have peace with God through Jesus Christ. You see, Daniel purposed in his heart, and the only way he could purpose in his heart was that he had a heart that was touched by the Lord. And we pray this night, men and women, that at the end of this service, even now, by the Lord's grace, that you will have a heart that will be touched by the Lord. You see, whenever we are saved by God's grace, whenever our heart that is vile, polluted, corrupt, and wicked is changed by the grace of God, we are a new creature in Christ. We are to live for the Lord. We have a new master. We serve a new master and a new king, the only king. And therefore, as we live in this world, a world that is corrupt, a world that has fallen, we ought to be a testimony for Jesus Christ. And Daniel, as he lived in a pagan society, was a man set apart by the Lord. And I want to focus with your attention tonight, as the Lord helps, that Daniel was a distinguished man. Or we could say Daniel is distinguished, set apart for the Lord. Notice first of all, Daniel is distinguished in his promotion. It says there in Daniel chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and that the king should have no damage. Here we have here, Daniel was set apart. At the end of chapter 5, verse 31, Darius has taken control of the kingdom. He has set his kingdom up in such a way that there are 120 princes. Or, as the word is used in Esther chapter 3, verse 12, they are lieutenants. They are those Persian governors ruling over the affairs of the kingdom. Above these 120 princes, there are the three presidents, of whom Daniel is one. And we must ask the question, out of all those 120 princes, out of all the other two presidents, why was Daniel number one? What was so special about Daniel that he was set above the rest as number one, that the people would have to respond back to him? There was much going against Daniel. Remember, he was in captivity. He was a Jew. At this stage, he's around 80 to 90 years old. There's much against him. And yet, we learn that he is set above. He is preferred above the rest. Well, may I say to you that that word preferred there, as we read there in verse 3, this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes. That word preferred, it simply means to distinguish. It comes from a word that means to shine, to exhibit, to show the difference. And the idea comes from something that is an external mark. Just like the farmer, if there's any farmers here today, I don't know. But you'll get the sheep, or a farmer will get a sheep, and they'll mark that sheep. It is to put a mark on the sheep, to separate that sheep out. And therefore, Daniel had a mark upon him. He was set apart. He had an excellent spirit, and there was something set on Daniel, something in his life that shone brightly, that shone forth, that Darius could see, something different in Daniel's life that was not there in the 120 princes and in the other two presidents. He was a man prepared, a man distinguished, a man set apart, because an excellent spirit was found in Daniel. You remember the words there in Matthew chapter 5, we looked on earlier on, Matthew chapter 5 through 7, and it says there in chapter 5, verse 14 to 16, regarding the Sermon on the Mount, where the Lord said to his disciples, "Ye are the light of the world." And those words, "ye are emphatic. It simply means ye alone, no one else. And when the Lord was talking there, he was simply saying to his disciples, "Ye and ye alone are the light of the world. Ye and ye alone, your life is to shine. Your life is to bring glory to the Lord. It's not anybody else's life, but it is my people, my chosen people, the ones who I have saved, the ones that I have redeemed, the ones that my blood will be shed for. They are the people who are to shine bright for me. Ye alone are the light of the world. Therefore, ye alone, your life is to be that city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid." You see, Daniel was a man set aside. He was a man that had a mark upon him, a man that people could see something in Daniel's life. Here is something different in his life. And young people, and men and women here today, whether you're in school, college, whether it's work, whether it's in the neighborhood, whatever it may be, how people ought to look at our life and to see there's something different in their life. How they respond, how they act, how they say, what they do, what they dress, where they go, how they talk, everything. There ought to be something different about that person. Why? Because they belong to the Lord. And don't we learn as well in Romans chapter 8, verse 9, "And if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And because we have the Lord, the Spirit of God in our heart, dwelling in our hearts, dwelling in our lives, we belong to the Lord, and therefore we ought to please him, we ought to live for him, and we ought to love him." Now you may say, "But hold on a minute, preacher. I'm not looking for a promotion in work. I'm not looking for anything to be promoted like Daniel. But I say unto you that neither was Daniel." Daniel did not go around Darius and saying, "Look at me, look at my life. Sure, you could compare me to everyone else." No, Daniel simply lived his life to honor God. He did what he did every single day. He lived for God. He loved the Lord. And what he was in his house, it came through in the outward street when people could see him. And because of that there, Daniel was promoted. Because they that honor God, God will honor. And young people, I say to you, in your school, in your college, shine bright for the Lord. Live that life that is pleasing to the Lord, that you will give glory and honor to his name. Daniel was distinguished in his promotion. Notice secondly, Daniel is distinguished in his position. It says there at the end of verse 2, we'll read the first two. It says, "And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them," and notice these words, "the king should have no damage." That the king should have no damage. And Daniel, as he was promoted to number one in a sense in that kingdom under Darius, that the people would have to come to him to give the reports, and he would bring it up to Darius. It was the point that the king should have no damage, and that the king and the kingdom would be run well. But whenever Daniel was serving under this workforce, whenever Daniel was at his job, though he was working, if you want to say, for a man who was not saved, though he was working in an environment where people might not have been responsive to him, but nonetheless, Daniel still lived for the Lord. And we may be in a company where people are not Christians. We may be in a job where the people are not born again believers. But nonetheless, we still ought to do a good job. We still ought to do our best because we are living for the Lord. Throughout Daniel's life in his job, they tried to find something against Daniel every single day. They tried to find something to accuse Daniel, to trip Daniel up. We learn now that they were envy of him. They were jealous of him. Verse 4, what does it say there? It says that they wanted to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. They wanted to find some fault in Daniel, something that they could trip Daniel up and go to Darius and say, look, Darius, this man Daniel is not all he cracked, is not all he seems to be. He's doing something he shouldn't be. He's twisting the accounts. He's making things up. But they could find no fault. There was nothing that they could accuse Daniel of. They then said in verse 5 that we have to find something against the law of his God. Now we have to attack his Christian living. We have to attack the God that he serves and the God that he loves. To make names against Daniel. But Daniel continued to live for the Lord. Whenever he was put into the den of lions, what was said of him in verse 16? Thy God, whom thou servest continually. Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. It was shown among the people that Daniel continually lived for the Lord. Don't we learn as well that whenever they wanted to find something against Daniel, they made these laws that no one could pray to any other god except to Darius, except to Nebuchadnezzar. We learn verse 7. It says, whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. No one was allowed to pray unless it was to some heathen god or to the king himself. But Daniel could not worship his own god. And when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, what did Daniel do? It says he went back home, first him. When Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before God, his God, as he did aforetime. We learn as well, verse 11, these men assembled and found Daniel praying. They knew where to find Daniel. They knew where to get Daniel. They knew that Daniel would not obey this law. They've got Daniel finally. We've got him. He's going to go and pray to his God. He's going to go against this law. And we know where to find him. He'll be in his house praying as he is every single day at the same time. Let's go there and get him. And we'll catch him out. We'll find him that he is a lawbreaker. And when they go, Daniel had his windows open and he was praying. And I say to you men and women and young people, in this day, keep your windows open for serving the Lord. You see, the fear of man bringeth a snare. And if that was the law against us, there may be the temptation to go home and shut every curtain, pull down every blind, lock the doors, and get into a back room somewhere, and maybe close the bathroom door, close the curtains on the shower, whatever it is in the shower, in the bathroom, and sit there and pray, hoping that no one will hear, no one will find out, because such a fear. But not Daniel. You see, Daniel, he kept his windows open. He was not ashamed to serve his God. He was not ashamed to pray. He was not ashamed to live for his Lord. And I say to you today, men and women, young people, keep your windows open. Keep serving the Lord. Keep living for the Lord. Because we sing that chorus, don't we? I'm not ashamed to own my Lord or to defend his cause. Now, how do we put this into practice? It's easy to live for the Christian life in the house, isn't it? It's easy to live for the Christian life inside this church. We'll take one aspect of the Christian life, praying before you give thanks for food. No doubt we all do that, don't we? You go home if you're brought up in a Christian home, and it's easy. The food's put out there, and you give thanks for the food, and you have no problem bowing the head, closing the eyes, because it's just you and the family. You carved this barbecue the other night, and no doubt thanks was given for the food, and there was no problem there. But however, maybe you go to McDonald's, or you go to a restaurant, and as soon as you walk in there, and you have the food there, you know that you have to give thanks for that food. But there's everyone around you. This is different now. You're not inside the house. You're not surrounded by other believers. There may be only two people there. And you know straight away, when you go to give thanks for that food, every eye is upon you, tables are so close, people are walking back and forth, and you know they're going to be looking at me, and they're going to say something against me, and they're going to laugh at me, and they're going to joke about me, because I'm giving thanks for my food. What do? Keep the windows open. Continue to give thanks for the food. Bless the Lord for it, and He will honor you and bless you in your life. You see, Daniel's name means God is my judge. And Daniel lived knowing every day, I'm going to stand before Him. I'm accountable to Him. I'll give an account before Him. And I want to hear that, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Young people, keep the windows open. When you go to this open air next Sunday night, and through the week in the streets, and you see people who you used to hang about with, and they look over you and see you there, and may shout something or may laugh at you, I say, keep your windows open. Keep serving the Lord. Because Paul said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation." The power, the dynamite of God that blows sin away. Hallelujah. There is a word in the gospel for sinners. He will blow away sin in your life. And that's why we're not ashamed of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Daniel, he served that the king would have no damage. He did his work to the best of his ability. No one could find anything against Daniel. No matter what they did, no matter how hard they searched, he lived a life to please the Lord. And how we ought to copy our Savior's life, that in all things he pleased the Father. "This is my beloved Son in whom I am pleased." He was about his Father's business. He pleased the Lord. There's a commentator, a man called Harry Ironside, and he recalls in one of his commentaries, I can't remember which one I got this from, I was reading it some time years ago, made a note of it, but in his early days, like some of you here in the young teenage days, he started off, and maybe some of you can look back to these days as well, your first job, you think of your first job. Well, he started off making shoes. And whenever he was making shoes, he said this here in his testimony, that it was a long process. He would have to cut the leather out. He would have to soak it. He would have to do all these different things. He would have to get a hammer and start beating it out, all the leather. It was such a long process to put it in the shoe, to make it from scratch. And he said, it just felt like such a long time, just for that one shoe. Every single detail. But one day he went into another shoemaker, and he noticed this man was simply just doing this, getting all the shoes out quickly. And Harry was amazed, because he was taking so long just to do one, but this man seems to be firing them all out. And he said to the dear sir, "Sir, what you're doing there with the shoes, you don't seem to be beating the leather like I do, or doing all these other things. It's simply just soaking wet, put in the shoe, and let it go out." He said, "Does it make it faster? Is the quality any better?" And the man said to him, "Well, to be honest with you, it just brings people back a lot quicker." And isn't that true about today's society, how things are not made really to last? Brings people back quicker. Simply, I just do this here because I know soon that's going to have to come back again. I'll be able to fix it and get more money off them. Harry thought, "Well, this is great." And he ran back to his boss, who was a born-again believer. And he came in all enthusiastic. "Boss, I found a way how we can speed things up to make more money." And Harry responded of what he had learned and what he had saw. And his boss responded, "Did Harry know? I make shoes for the glory of God." And he gave him this verse in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. "Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, not unto man." He said, "Whatever I do, it's for the Lord." And that's how Daniel lived his life. It was for the Lord. And young people today, I pray that God will bless your life and guide you. Daniel served in such a way that the king would have no damage. Nothing was said bad about Darius while Daniel was there. I know what it would be a testimony in our life that the King of Heaven would have no damage. That through our life, through our testimony, through our attitude, through our actions, that the King of Kings would have no damage, that people would not say anything against our God because of how we acted. The hymnist wrote, "Make me a channel of blessing today. Make me a channel of blessing, I pray." But we cannot be channels of blessing if we constantly trifle with sin. We will by ours be in a hindrance to those who we are trying to win. I say, men and women, today, let us live in a way to please the Lord, to keep the windows open, that the King may have no damage. But maybe there's one to hear today, and you'll say, "Preacher, my life lately, throughout my life, I've caused the King damage. I've let him down. I have failed him many times. I've caused the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme." Oh, I say, dear child of God, come back to him today. Rededicate your life. Come afresh to Calvary. Come afresh and rededicate your life to him. For though I forget him and wander away, still he doth love me wherever I stray. Back to his dear loving arms would I flee when I remember that Jesus loves me. We're loved with an everlasting love. Oh, love that will not let me go. Finally, my time's gone here, but finally, we look at Daniel distinguished in his promotion. Daniel is distinguished in his position. And finally, Daniel is distinguished in his performance. Verse 3 says there that Daniel had, because an excellent spirit was in him. And that phrase, excellent spirit, has been translated and interpreted by many to mean cool of spirit. It simply means to be spirit-led. And therefore, we read throughout the book of Daniel, you'll read verses of Nebuchadnezzar saying that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. And from the Hebrew translation and other translations, it says, basically means that that's an ungodly man's way of saying that the Holy Ghost is in thee. Many commentators put this to say that an excellent spirit, Daniel was a man led of the Spirit, he was filled with the Spirit, and that's why he stood out, that's why his life was different, that's why there was a mark upon his life, because he was filled by the Spirit, he was led by the Spirit, and he was guided by the Spirit. And in closing, Paul wrote to the believers in Ephesus, chapter 5, verse 18, in Ephesians 5, 18, what did he say? "Be not drunk with wine where it is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit." And the believers there, they were struggling with sin. They were struggling in the flesh. They were prone to alcohol, prone to wine. Those things that belong to the flesh, belong to the world, the ungodly man. But they were struggling, battling over it. And what did Paul say? Be filled with the Spirit. You see, just as alcohol. Have you ever seen a man who is drunk? The alcohol, it will control his behavior, his walk, his talk, his attitude, everything. He's under the influence of alcohol. And you can see it straight away, how it completely has taken over him. And Paul says, just as that man who is controlled by the wine, so be filled with the Spirit. Let the Spirit control you, guide you, fill you in your thoughts, in your actions, in your walks. When you're filled with the Spirit, you will be blessed by the Lord, and it will be seen in your manner. Because that word, when Paul says, be filled with the Spirit, it's a command. That's not a suggestion. It's not something to try. But every single day, it's a command. We are to be filled with the Spirit. It's also in the present imperative, continuous, which simply means this here, that it is continual. It's not just one time. You don't just simply say on Monday morning or Sunday, "Lord, fill me with the Spirit so I can enjoy the Lord's day," and then wait till the next week. But every single day, every moment of the day, when the devil comes to attack, when you live for the Lord, you say, "Lord, fill me with the Spirit of God." Pray for the infilling of the Spirit of God. Pray for your preacher as well, that he will be set on fire, the infilling of the Spirit, because it makes the difference. Because the Lord is the one who makes the difference. Daniel was a man who was led. He was a man who was filled by the Spirit. And Darius could see something in his life. Something that set this man apart. Why? Because he was controlled by the Spirit of God. And men and women, young people today, I pray that our life will shine bright for him, that our life will cause the king no damage, that our lives will be controlled by the Spirit of God. Maybe you don't have that controlling of the Spirit because you're not a Christian. You're not saved. You don't belong to Jesus Christ. We pray today that you will come and give your life afresh to him. Come to Calvary this day. Have your burden of sin rolled away. Have your sins forgiven. And come to the Savior, the wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, for the Savior's sake. Amen.